So if somebody wanted to speak with you today, if somebody today needed to speak with you, what would they need to do in order to make that happen? Now, for some of you, they'd need to call you on the phone because that's the only way to get you. Nothing else is going to get you. They got to call you on the phone. But for some of you, if somebody calls you, you don't answer the phone. I don't know. No judging here, but for some of you, you don't answer the phone. So you won't respond unless they text you. And so they've got to text you and say, hey, can we talk? Instead of calling you and saying, they've got to text you and say, can we talk? Or maybe they've got to send you an email. If somebody needed to speak with you today, how's that going to happen? Do they need to send you an instant message of some kind? Do they need to post on your social media page in order to get your notifications going off and to get your attention? If somebody needed to speak with you today, what would they need to do? Maybe the old-fashioned way of speaking with you. They'd have to actually come to your house and knock on the door and talk to you. If somebody needed to speak with you, how would they go about it? Let me ask you a different question. If God wanted to speak with you today, how would he go about doing that? If God wanted to speak with you today, how would he do that? Would he do it verbally? Do you have your hearing aids turned up? Have you checked your batteries lately to make sure that they're not dead? Is he going to speak to you verbally? If God wanted to speak with you today, how would he do that? Would he put some thoughts into your heart? Would he lay something on your heart? Put some thoughts in your mind to kind of give you a direction to go. How does God speak to people today? If you go back and read your Bible, in Bible times, God spoke to people in different ways in Bible times. In Genesis chapter 2, God spoke to Adam. Now, how did he do that? Did he use the phone, text message, email? How did he talk to Adam? He talked to Adam directly. God was there in the Garden of Eden with Adam, and he spoke to Adam directly. He could not tell Adam, Adam, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis wouldn't be written for another 2,500 years. The only way for God to speak to Adam on that occasion was to speak to him directly. When in Genesis chapter 6, when God wanted Noah to build an ark, how did he tell him to build an ark? He spoke to him directly. In Genesis chapter 15, when God spoke to Abraham, he spoke to him in a vision. That's not the only time in Scripture that God used a vision to speak to people, but he did it in Genesis 15 with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 20, he spoke to Abimelech through a dream. Not the only person that God spoke to in a dream, but throughout Scripture, sometimes God used dreams to talk to people. In Exodus chapter 3, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. Not something that we see very often in Scripture, but there at Mount Sinai, he speaks to Moses through a burning bush. In 1 Kings chapter 19, he spoke to Elijah through a still, small voice. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God speaking to his people through prophets. We come to the New Testament in Luke chapter 1. God spoke to Mary through an angel. Not the only occasion an angel delivered a message for God, but God spoke to her through an angel. You read through Scripture, and you find God speaking through various means to various people. In Acts chapter 2, God spoke to the people through the mouths of the prophets, but it was the Holy Spirit who was giving them the words to speak. That's what Jesus said would happen in Mark 13 and verse 11. He said, God, the Holy Spirit will give you whatever you need to say. Back to the question, how does God speak to people today? We see all of that time that God spoke to them in those ways in the Old Testament, New Testament, but let me ask you this question. Does God still speak to us directly? Does God still use visions? Does God still use dreams? Does God still use all of those means that he would use in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Let me give you the short answer to that question. We're going to answer it through this lesson, but in case you can't make it through the rest of the lesson, here's the short answer to that question. Does God still use all of those direct methods. He does not. Not through visions, not through dreams, not through prophets with inspired messages. That answer may bother some of you. But what I want to do this morning is just open the Bible and let the Bible answer to us. How does God speak to us today? There are some of you likely here this morning who believe that God speaks to us directly today. Likely some of you here this morning or some watching online who believe that God has laid something on your heart, some thought that He has planted in your mind. I want to see what the Bible has to say about that today. So get your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to allow the Bible to do some teaching in a variety of passages today, but I want you to see these verses in your Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't ever take some preacher's word for anything that he says. He's a human being. He can make mistakes. But this book doesn't make mistakes. So what do we know about how does God speak to us today? I want us to talk about for a couple minutes the Bible. And I want us to understand that when you pick up your Bible, that every part of your Bible is from God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16? The first word I've got in my Bible is the word all. You might have the word every. Every all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. When I pick up my Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, here is a verse that tells me all of my Bible is from God. Where did Genesis come from? Came from God. Where did Exodus come from? Came from God. Where did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John come from? All Scripture. Where did 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Where did Jude and Revelation? Where did they come from? All Scripture is given to us by God. We got that? Go over to 2nd Peter. You might put a finger in 2 Timothy. We'll come back there in just a minute. But go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. If we learn in 2 Peter chapter 3 that all Scripture is given to us by God, look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Anytime you see the word all or the word every in Scripture, that ought to grab your attention. That's God using a big word. Maybe not big in the number of letters, but it's God being all-inclusive. Everything in the Bible is from God. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 2 Peter chapter 1, let's drop down to verse 20. Where the Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, when God uses big words like no, you need to pay attention. God says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never, you got that word never? No word of Scripture ever came, verse 20 says, through private interpretation. Verse 21, no prophecy of Scripture ever. It never came by the will of man. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is from God. We learn in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's not a single thing in your Bible that was put there by man. No part of your Bible is there because it was the private interpretation of the writer. The Bible says prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the confidence that you can have when you pick that up and you read what Peter says, when you pick up this book and read what Paul says to Timothy, not a single thing there was put there because a human author thought it would be a good idea. God put it there. Every bit of it, God put it there. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a passage that you ought to know because it is another way of what we're reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that all Scripture is given to us by God, but Paul expounds on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because he says in verse 10 that God has revealed some things through His Spirit. In verse 11 he says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You can't know what somebody else is thinking unless what? They tell you. Why did I want you to smile at the beginning of the sermon today? Because it tells me, your face is telling me something, right? I can't know what you're thinking unless you use your words and tell me something. You don't know what's, and that's, he says at the end of verse 11, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so Paul says in verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world. We, the apostles, the inspired writers, received the Spirit who is from God that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can know what God wants us to know. How? Because Paul says the Spirit has revealed that to the apostles and the inspired writers. Now look in verse 13. Paul says, these things we, the apostles, speak. These inspired writers speak. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but, insert it again, words which the Holy Spirit teaches. You might circle the word words in verse 13. What did the Holy Spirit give to those writers? He gave them words to write down. The word words is an important word in that verse. God did not give these writers thoughts. He did not say, here's a thought. Now go and put that into your own words. You ever done that? Teachers ever done that in class, in school? Well, here's an idea. Now go write this in your own words. God never said, go write this in your own words. He gave them the words to write. When you pick up your Bible, where did it come from? Every bit of it came from God. You go to chapter 14 of this same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, and he says, if you're a prophet, if you're spiritual, if you want to understand the truth about this, Paul says, you need to understand that the things that I'm writing to you are the commandments of the Lord. I pick up my Bible and I'm reading words. Where did those words come from? Every single word came from God. None of the words came from man. That's the confidence that you need to have in this book. Now, how does that help us to answer the question? How does God speak to us today? Does it completely answer the question? Well, we have within our possession a book that tells us the message of God. Somebody says, well, I can walk outside and the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, the heavens tell you that there is a God. The trees and the birds and every part of creation that's out there, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they tell you there is a God. But they don't tell you what the will of that God is. You just know there's a God. How do I know what the will of my God is? I pick up this book. Yeah, but isn't it possible? Isn't it possible that God might lay something on my heart separate from the Bible? Isn't it possible that God might give me some thought that I have it's just because God loves me and God has laid something on my heart and He's told me something and I can hear His voice. Isn't that possible? And still the Bible be from God? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Still got your finger there? Not only do we learn in the Bible that the Bible, every part of it is from God, but what we also learn from the Bible is that nothing else is from God. What do you mean? 2 Timothy chapter 3, what does it tell us? Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, my Bible in verse 17 has the word that at the beginning. I don't know if your Bible has the word that as the first word in verse 17, but the word that indicates here's the purpose, here's the reason. Why do I have the Bible? Why did God give me all of these Scriptures in the Bible? What does verse 17 say? That the man of God, that's us, that you and I might be, and your Bible might have the word perfect, that the man of God may be perfect, or your Bible might have the word complete. That's what the word perfect means there. It doesn't mean that you don't make any mistakes. It means that we're complete. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What does that verse tell me about all of the Scriptures that are given by the inspiration of God? That verse tells me that every part of the Bible is not only from God, but there's not going to be anything else given from God other than the Bible. How do I know that? Because God says, when I've got the Bible, when I've got Scripture, I'm complete. I'm complete. I've got the Bible. I'm thoroughly furnished. I'm thoroughly equipped unto every good work. If God needs to tell me something, if God needs to lay something on my heart, if He needs to put a thought in my head that He hasn't given me in the Bible, then He just proved that 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17 is false. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, I'm complete and thoroughly furnished with this book, which means there is not going to be any other revelation given to me by God outside of what this book says. Let's see it again. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. Should have told you to keep a finger there, but you can get over there quick. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. Same chapter we were in before. In verse 3, of this chapter, earlier on in the chapter, he says, here's some things that we can have confidence in. We can have confidence in the divine power that has been given to us. As His divine power is given to us, how many things do you have in verse 3? Again, it's a big word. It only has three letters in it, but it's a big word. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ who called us by glory and virtue. When I have the knowledge of Christ found within the book that God has given to me by His divine power, this verse says, I have all things that I need. If the Bible gives me all things that I need from God, what else is God going to tell me outside of this book that I need? Not a single thing. He's given me everything that I need. You're in 2 Peter, jump over a couple pages to the little book of Jude. When you go over to the little book of Jude and you get to verse 3, and Jude says, you know what? I had in mind to write to you about our common salvation, but that changed. And the new topic that he chose from the Holy Spirit to write about at the end of verse 3 is to exhort them to contend earnestly for the faith, the gospel, the word of God, the will of God, in order to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Everything I have in the Bible is from God. Nothing is from man. It's all from God. When I have the Bible, it thoroughly equips me. It makes me complete. What does that mean? I'm not missing anything. It gives me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm not missing anything. And when God gave us the Scripture, when He gave us the faith and He gave us the gospel, God says, there's not going to be anything else delivered after that. It has been once for all delivered. Nothing more to come. Have you had anything delivered to your house? You've had lots of things delivered to your house, right? If you had things delivered to your house, they were once for all delivered. Unless you go back and order some more of that lotion that you've been using, they're not going to be delivering anymore. Unless you go and order some more tires, they're not going to be delivering anymore. It's been once for, but God says there's not going to be anything else delivered when it comes to His Word. One more verse to finish up. In the bottom right here. Go to John chapter 16. And here's another verse where you need to be circling some words. In John chapter 16, put the verse in context. John chapter 16, Jesus is in the upper room the night before He's going to be crucified. And He's there with His apostles. The only people in the room in John 16 are Jesus and His 11 apostles. Judas has already left. Judas left three chapters earlier. So it's Jesus and His 11 apostles the night before He's going to be crucified in John chapter 16. And you look in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, and what do you notice if you've got a red letter Bible? It's Jesus talking. John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Jesus is doing all of the talking. And in chapter 16, He's in the midst of telling them that when Jesus leaves the earth, that God is going to send the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to say. Look in verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Jesus says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. When Jesus dies, what He's going to do the next day, is buried, He's raised from the dead, He lives on the earth for 40 days after that and ascends into heaven, the Lord's going to send the Holy Spirit. And when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, Jesus is talking to His apostles. He's not talking to us. Don't misunderstand. You were not in that upper room. He's talking to the apostles. And what does he tell them? He says he will guide you, the apostles, into how much truth? The Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit came. And we've already noted in these other verses what transpired. That men of God, they never gave any prophecy on their own. They never gave anything of their own private interpretation. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In your Bible, in John 16 and verse 13, I would encourage you to circle the word all, or the words all truth. When the Holy Spirit got done revealing truth to the apostles, how much truth did they have from God? This verse says they had it all. If they had all of the truth and they wrote it down, which is what the Bible says, how much of God's truth, how much of God's will for your life is missing from this book? Not a bit. How does God speak to us today? God speaks to us today. God speaks to all of man today in the exact same way. No matter who you are on the face of this earth, how many billions of people are on the earth right now? You can pull up a worldometer right now and give me the 7 point whatever billion people it is. God speaks to every single one of them in the same way. Through His Word. Through His Word that He says is complete. Through His Word that He says is perfect. Through His Word that He says is not missing a single thing. It has been once for all delivered. It's final. That's how He speaks to us today. And so if I back away from that and I only accept what the Bible tells me about how does God speak to us today, I cannot come away with any other conclusion than what the Bible teaches. What if, let me ask you this question. What if God has a special message that He wants to lay on somebody's heart about what He wants them to do? God has a special message for Richard. He's going to lay it on Richard's heart. Richard, here's what I want you to do to serve me. There you go, Richard. And then God has another special message that He's going to lay on Mike's heart. What if God doesn't tell Mike the same thing that He told Richard? Or what if God told Richard something, but He didn't tell Todd that same thing that He just told Richard? The Bible says that our God is not a God of partiality. God does not show favoritism. God does not pick and choose who to tell something to and who to not tell something to. How do we know? Because He speaks to all of us in exactly the same way, through the very same means. And He's not going to tell Taylor something that He has not told Dirk. How unfair would that be of God to tell one person something that He didn't tell somebody else? Would you feel left out? Guess what? You're not left out. There's not a single part of the truth of God, of God's will, that He has not told you what He wants you to do. Don't you feel special that you're not left out? Were you one of those kids on the playground that you got left out? And you were like, you were kind of bummed that you got left out? You ever one of those people at work? And everybody else went out to lunch and you're by yourself because nobody invited you to lunch. You got left out. God hasn't left anybody out. He's given us all the same message. And so when I pick up this book, I find a God who wants everybody to be saved. And so this God who wants everybody to be saved gives the same message to the whole world for everybody to be saved. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Guess what? That same message saves everybody else who hears that message. It doesn't change. And so knowing the will of God for my life is as simple as picking up this book. Knowing what God wants me to do with my life in serving Him today is as simple as picking up this book. When the devil tempted Jesus to turn those stones into bread, you remember what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, where in the world could I find every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Oh, you're holding it in your lap. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. Well, how in the world can I possibly know the will of God? I mean, that's just huge. He's infinite and I'm not. How can I know the will of God? Aren't you special? Aren't you special that you get to know the will of God? Will of God for you, will of God for everybody else. But somebody says, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I just feel that God has laid something upon me. I feel that he's laid this on my heart. I just feel that this is what God wants me to do. And I don't question your feelings at all. But are feelings the safest of guides? Have you ever been watching a football game and you just felt good? We're up. We're up 2 touchdowns with only 1.5 minutes to go. And you feel good? Did those feelings ever betray you? And all of a sudden your team is dying and you... What happened to your feelings? It was feeling good for a while, and then the feelings changed. Feelings are not a safe and reliable guide. You know what God says about our feelings? In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, by the way, did I put both of them? Yeah. You know God said the very same thing in both of these verses right here? In Proverbs 14, verse 12, God said, there's a way that seems, feels. There's a way that seems right unto a man. Man, this feels, it just feels right. The end of that way, God says, is death. Well, I felt like it was right. Rather than trusting our feelings, do you know where we can go to know what is right? You know the Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, was Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. And in Acts 26 and verse 9, he said, I felt that I must do many things contrary to the name of Christ. That's why he's persecuting Christians. He felt it was what God wanted him to do. Was killing Christians what God wanted Saul of Tarsus to do? No. But his conscience was good, Acts 23 and verse 1. He felt good. Can I be religious? Can I be a believer in Jesus and believe and feel like I'm good with him? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we quoted that verse a moment ago where Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who does? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. But look at Matthew 7, verse 22. What does Jesus say? Many will say unto me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonders in your name? Lord, we were doing this for you. And you note what Jesus says in verse 23. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice. But they felt it was right. They felt like they were doing this for Jesus. They felt like they were doing what God wanted them to do. You who practice lawlessness. My feelings are not a safe guide. I've got to come to this book. Somebody says, okay, I get that. So final question today. How does God guide me then? How does God lead me? You know, we sing songs. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We sing songs. Where he leads me, I will follow. Okay, great. How does he do that? Where does wisdom come from? Book of Proverbs, where does wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How can I get, how can I understand, how can I know, how can the Lord lead me? Number one, it starts with a fear of the Lord. It starts with a deep respect and awe for God. And when I have that deep respect and awe for God, I don't have it for me. When I get me out of the way, I've taken a big step. I've got to have a fear of the Lord. How do I know what God wants me to do? How can God lead me and guide me today? Here's three M words for you. I need to meditate on this book. I need to get into this book and meditate on what God says to me in this book. I need to memorize this book. You know, Jesus memorized some verses. When the devil came at him to tempt him, guess what Jesus did? He quoted some verses that he had memorized. It was God guiding him and leading him. It was God providing the way of escape that is promised in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Well, God, how are you going to provide that way of escape? By me memorizing the revelation that God has given to me. So that when the devil comes at me, you know how the devil's going to come at you. He's not going to tempt you to do something that's not tempting to you. He's going to tempt you to do something, I kind of like that. Then you find the verses in the Bible and memorize those so that you can quote them back to the devil. And that's God in His Word leading you through that temptation. It's not your own strength, it's the strength of God. I need to meditate, I need to memorize, and I need to just immerse myself. How much time do you spend in God's Word? We spend our time doing a lot of things. How much time do I spend in God's Word? Could I say I have immersed myself in Scripture? Do I spend time there every day so that it is getting into me and I am getting into Scripture and allowing God to fill my heart? Not because I feel like He's doing something, but because I'm reading it right here. Jeremiah chapter 31, God said that His Word would be written on their hearts. How is that going to happen? By reading it. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? That applies to every man, young and old, applies to men and women. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can God lead us? By getting into His Word. How can God guide me? Let me give you another thing to think about. Surround yourself. Surround yourself with godly counsel. Surround yourself, not just one person who's godly counsel. Look at the three verses from the book of Proverbs on the screen, where multiple times in the book of Proverbs, it says we need to have multiple godly counselors in our life. It provides safety in our lives. What does that indicate? What does that mean? I need to surround myself by faithful Christians. I need to have strong, faithful, mature Christians in my life so that when I have questions, I can reach out. Hey, what do you think I should do? And don't just ask one, ask multiple. You know how God comforts us? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, do you know how God comforts us? Through His people, 2 Corinthians 1 says. God comforts us through the comfort of His people. Is it possible that through the counsel of multiple godly, mature Christians, that I can find what I need to do in my life? Is that God laying something on my... Is that God working outside of Scripture? That's God using the Bible and biblical principles to guide my godly counselors to point me to where I need to be in Scripture. How can God lead me? How can God guide me today? I need to pray. How much time do we spend in prayer? If any of you lacks wisdom, what do? Ask of God, and He'll give to you liberally. Have the heart that says to God, not my will, but your will be done. Trust God and do not force your will upon God. When you're a parent, you can force your will on your children. Go right ahead. You know, you've got that right. But don't try to force your will on God. And don't mistake your will for God's will. Get into Word, pray to God. Final thing I want you to do, go to Psalm 119, and we're going to finish over here real quick. The passage that was read this morning was from Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, you know it's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Get over there real quick. We're going to look at some verses, and then we're done. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, 176 verses. And all 176 verses are about the Bible, are about the Scripture, about God's Word. How does God lead me? How does God motivate me? How does God revive me? How does God teach me today? Look in Psalm 119. Look at the passage that was read starting in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, what? The way of your statutes. Teach me your word, and it shall keep it, and I'll keep it to the end. Give me understanding. Well, how do I get understanding? By keeping his law. Notice how all of this, the teaching, is tied to his statutes, the words. The understanding in verse 34 is tied to his law in verse 34. Look in verse 35. Lord, make me walk. How can God make you walk? How can he direct you? How can he lead you? Make me walk in the path of your commandments. I get into God's word and I know where I need to walk. God, turn, verse 37, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Have you ever said that? Lord, help me to get my eyes off of this pornography. God, help me to get my eyes off of these pursuits of life that I don't need to have. God, turn my eyes away. How? By reviving me in your way, by your word. I saturate, I immerse myself in God's word, and it helps me to control what I do. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. God, I want to serve you. Give me your word. Verse 39, turn away my reproach which I dread. How do I do that? By looking at his judgments, his word. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Another word for Scripture, for his word. Revive me in your righteousness. How does God work in my life? 176 verses tell you how he works in your life. He works in your life through this book. If you want God to speak to you today, you want God to lead you today, you want God to guide you today, he's going to do it inside of this book. And that's where you need to go. Saturate your heart with these words so that at those moments in life when you need to make a decision, when you need to make a decision when you're facing temptation, when you need to make a decision about, you know what, should I really be friends with this person? Should I marry this person? When you're trying to make some decisions, you've got God's word speaking to you, guiding you, leading you through the pages and the words of this book. As always, if you have any questions about anything that's taught, please don't hesitate to ask. We want to sit down and give you a Bible answer. What does God's word say about salvation? What's God's truth about salvation? What has he said? You know what he said. In order to be saved from my sins, I need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I cannot be saved from my sins without believing that he came and died for me, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Do you believe that this morning? Does that faith lead you to say, I want to stop sinning. I want to stop separating myself from God. I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And Jesus says, we don't do that, Luke 13, we're going to perish. So why don't you today, don't you want to make up your mind, I want to give my life to the Lord. You ready to do that today? You're ready to give your life to the Lord, you can do what they did in the Bible. You can do what they did in the New Testament. Confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized. There's water here today. You can be baptized into Christ, not because some church or some preacher said to do it, but because Jesus said to do it in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized, that person's going to be saved. Have you ever been baptized so that you could be saved from your sins? Not for some other reason. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? That's God speaking to you, telling you how to be saved, telling you how to be added to his church and get your name written in heaven. If you've never done that, why don't you do that today? Be raised from that water to walk in newness of life, to serve the Lord faithfully, to be always abounding in his work. As you look at your life today, are you right with God? We're going to sing a song that asks that question. And if you're not right with God, why don't you get right now as together we stand and sing.